Hey podcasters, Claire's Matt and Kimber here from The Big Breakfast.
On today's catch-up, Dennis Cometti wraps up round 9 of the AFL.
Superstar coach Guy Sebastian talks about The Voice on 9.
We ask, what have you lost in translation?
And we gave you a special Game of Thrones edition of The Juice.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m. on Mix 94.5. The Juice.
Oh, do tell.
Let's hear it. Give me the details.
I'd love to give you a bunch of juice. A lot of entertainment gossip, but there's only one show that everyone's talking about today. It is, of course, Game of Thrones. I've been getting very bored of the theme.
Yeah.
A nice mashup.
Now, it is anticipated that 30 million fans will watch the final episode of Game of Thrones today. And some psychologists are warning that it comes with the same feelings as ending a relationship.
Oh, really?
Yeah, after 8 seasons, they said you can go through the feelings of shock, denial, anger, grief, and eventually acceptance.
Mm.
But people are quite embarrassed to talk about it. But TV like this is part of your world. People do assimilate with the characters and feel, let them into their world. And it actually forms part of the palette of grief.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah, so I thought we better check that our mate is okay.
Yeah,
Let's cross to Rush Hour's Pete Corelli ahead of the final ep and offer our support. Pete, are you there, mate?
Valar Morghulis, Big Breakfast.
And are you are you okay on this this legendary day?
Look, I'm okay, but I'm okay because there's still like another 20 minutes until the show is here, and then the show will be here for a good hour and a half, couple of hours or so. So
right.
I think maybe if we check back in after sort of 11 o'clock today, and just see how I'm going. But I actually don't think that's too far-fetched, going through all those different types of emotions. It's kind of the same thing you feel at the end of a footy season. You know, it's all done and wrapped up, and you kind of look ahead to the next few months and go, okay, what now?
Yes.
Yeah. Pete, have you been on Game of Thrones since the beginning, or did you sort of catch up 5 seasons at once?
No, I've been on since the very beginning. I've been a mad fiend for this sort of fantasy stuff for ever since I was a kid, reading those sorts of thick novels and whatnot. So
yeah, yeah.
I'm absolutely pumped. I've been here since day dot, which my wife wants to kill me for because she's not interested, which makes for terrible stuff, table conversation on a Monday evening around the dinner table, because all I want to do is talk about the latest episode and all she wants to do is just not hear about it.
So when you're going through those feelings of grief and not accepting that it's over, your wife's not going to want to hear any of that, Pete.
No, absolutely not. And in our household, it's a criminal offence not to watch Game of Thrones, but I'm the only one who's in jail. Terrible.
You're the man. Hey, what about filling that void, mate? Are you going to get a pet dragon? What's happening?
Look, I've looked into it. Again, the wife has barred me from that, looking around. I don't know. I don't quite know how I'm going to fill the void. It's going to be kind of weird and empty every Monday morning at 9 a.m.
Mm.
In fact, I'm coming into the station right now I'll be there in about 15 minutes to get stuck into the boardroom and flick on the telly there and have a few people around to watch the final episode. So I don't know what I'm going to do next Monday.
No, that's okay, Pete. As long as you're around friends, I'm very happy that you're coming in to view the app. Well, you take care and we'll touch base with you soon. And just so you know too, we got Captain Paul's dog Bella to choose who she thought would finish on the Iron Throne, because that is apparently what it's all leading to.
Iron Throne.
We gave her 6 options. And we printed all of them out, put them next to each other and put a biscuit on each one, and she's made her choice. So
what was her choice?
Do you want to hear it? Here it is.
I want to hear it.
Yeah,
this is
Bella's choice.
Who is going to finish on the Iron Throne? Bella?
Who is it? It's Sheridan.
Sounded a bit like a theme, a little bit of the show, didn't it, really?
So she's chosen Tyrion. That's her prediction. It is at themix.com.au Tyrion. If you want to check out the video of Bella making her choice.
Well, I tell you what, after our week on the Coral Coast with all that food, I was very much on the Iron Throne on Saturday morning.
Good luck, Pete. Enjoy the ep.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck, Pete. All the best. We'll talk to you at 11. We'll just check in to make sure he's okay.
Yes.
Check in on a friend today.
So that's the juice.
That's your daily juice.
Oh, well done.
The Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast.
That's over the shoulder.
The only brekkie show with this legend.
Oh, yes. Hang it on the wall. A work of art.
Let's talk footy with Dennis Cometti for Battery World.
And after nine rounds, the Eagles are flying, literally with six wins, and the Dockers sadly anchored on four wins. Dennis, good morning.
Good morning to both of you and all of you.
Good morning.
I left you out because you had... You had your feet on my seat.
I saw that, sorry.
From outside.
Oh, is it some sort of territorial dog thing I was doing? And I would never do that to you knowingly.
Well, I saw it firsthand or first foot. The Dockers are very much like Sydney FC, aren't they?
Yeah.
Getting back to the sport, yes. Right. They didn't take too many shots at goal. That was amazing yesterday. Sydney FC, just talking soccer for a moment, didn't have one shot on goal until the penalty shootout.
Yeah.
That is remarkable.
And then won the grand final.
Yeah, Fremantle slightly better. Had seven on Saturday, seven goals. So that's not bad. But it's becoming a pattern, isn't it? Fremantle not scoring very much at all.
Yeah.
Now, when the game is tight, I suppose you've got a chance to win it. But the alternative is true as well. And that seems more the case with the Dockers right now. In the last three games, just 24 goals. So does it drive you crazy watching that?
Well, it's driving me crazy in that there was a free-flowing... Well, I was thinking, is this a new Ross Lyon style early in the year? Lots of goals.
Where's it gone?
Yeah.
So after nine rounds last season, the Dockers were 4-5. This morning, that's their record this season. Lachie Neal and Tim Kelly continue to dominate the competition. That must be galling to fans like yourself, too. You're my man in the street for Fremantle today.
I just want to cry.
I just stopped you and I'm accosting you, you know?
Yeah, we have to play Lachie Neal this week.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. That is the good news, though, that David Mundy is... Perhaps in career best form?
He is. Yeah.
Okay, but Neil comes to town next week. That's terrific. Should be a good game, actually, because if they don't win that, then Frio are really in trouble. And I've got to say, the Eagles made a great comeback on Friday night.
They did.
Tough game. They were gone at three-quarter time. Mm. I would have mortgaged the house on Melbourne, but I've been careless before. Elliot Yeo and the Eagles, that was a heck of a comeback, wasn't it?
It
said something about the morale of the team and the strength of the team, so I think they're right back in it. Liam Ryan, outstanding, Mark. How good was that?
Mm.
At a vital time, and those sort of things are inspirational. Sure, he kicked a goal, but it lifted everybody, didn't it? And the crowd suddenly in it, and I think that was an important piece of the game.
It lifted one Dennis Cometti. I know you wouldn't want us to play that. We want to do
Kennedy,
this.
Kennedy, Daddy'll get the distance, goes long, right to the goal square. Run! Oh, run! He's taken the mark of the year. Forget about the competition. Liam Ryan has climbed on Matt Scorn and taken a miraculous mark.
We love Andrew Embley losing it in the background.
I hate it when those things sort of live on, because if you don't nail it...
That was a great call.
No, that was just lucky. But there are only two blokes in the pack, so it worked out pretty well. But yes, everybody sort of goes off when they see something like that. And over the last, I suppose, 48 hours, people have been talking about guys who... were great marks, and they say, is that the greatest mark you've ever seen? Or, you know, you can't say that. You never can. Like, they're all different. They've all got their own DNA. But I was thinking of the guys that I've seen over the years. I'll just get a very short list in front of me.
Okay.
I've been asking about, you know, sort of players and what they can do and what they can't do, and these people want to know about the people in the past. Tony Modra's the one, not too far away. I mean... I think in the Adelaide years, he was just simply sensational. John Jerovich at South Fremantle was another one. That's taking us back to the 50s and 60s. And a guy I played with, Laurie Richards, West Perth, Fitzroy and Woodville, right up there too, so to speak. I mean, he could really jump. I mean, that's an attribute that takes not only ability and timing, but a lot of courage too, because if you don't stick the landing, it ain't very good.
Yeah.
But a good weekend as far as the Eagles were concerned. I think that gets them right back in the middle of the race. As far as the Dockers are concerned, they need a win next week or it's going to be a tough season.
Yeah. Mm. A couple of good comebacks on the weekend for our local sides. Willie Rioli at West Coast and Connor Blakely.
He was terrific, wasn't he? Yeah. So understated when he plays his football. So laconic. He just seems to jive around and suddenly things work out for him. What about a clever goal, that one sort of that went right to
incredible.
Left?
Incredible.
And it's not a fluke.
Mm.
I mean, he's an outstanding talent. When I first saw him, I thought, surely not. I mean, you shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
When he first saw me, he probably thought, surely not, you know. That guy can commentate? Well, that's still up for debate. But that was a miracle goal. But just the way he does it, he just takes it he makes it look so easy and actually takes some of the gloss off himself.
Yes.
It's just terrific. So the West Coast Eagles have reason to be very happy this morning.
Very good, Dan. Good to catch up, mate. I know you very, very well. As you spoke about people taking screamers, I wrote down Richards. And I thought, I wonder if Laurie Richards will get a mention
here. It's funny when we played junior football, I played at the same junior club as Laurie.
Yeah.
And you know how we had kick the kick in the old days?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
The whole team would be down one end and Laurie would be down the other.
No one wanted to be outmarked.
No one wanted to go down and be jumped on. Like you'd be sitting on your head, you'd go home, you know, like he'd almost take you out every time. But he just had this leap. It's uncanny.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he's kicked the kick at training anymore. Everyone's on their phones. Good on you, Dennis.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
A lot of hype and talk about what was going on with a certain European sort of entertainment comp over the weekend.
Eurovision.
There? So much going on. And someone we forget was on Eurovision not that long ago. Australia's representative, Guy Sebastian, when you think about it. But what an incredible career he's had since being the winner of the first Australian Idol back in 2003, a judge in recent years on X Factor. And, of course, now he's popped up on a new show as one of the judges on The Voice on Channel 9 tonight at 7:30 p.m. The one and only Guy Sebastian. How are you, mate?
I'm very good. Yeah, really good. I've been sort of just busy. I've got The Voice obviously happening, and then I've just got back from Europe where I've been flogging my new song over there and just doing some promo and some shows and stuff, and then recording the album. So I'm going to get a new single out really soon as well.
Guy, you're a coach on The Voice, and you offer really sage and fair advice to young talent from what we've seen in the past. What's a piece of advice that someone gave to you that really resonated?
You know what? I think somebody told me early on just to have my anchor, meaning what is the thing that I always revert back to as the thing that gives me purpose.
Yep.
You know, it's a really up and down industry, and it's one where, you know, you might release stuff where you think, well, I'm a failure and it hasn't worked. No one's playing it. Radio won't add it and it won't chart and I've poured all this time into it. And if I acknowledge that what I do is much, you know, it's much deeper than what I think, then it sort of gives me purpose. You know, I write a song and I go, well, this will speak to someone. This will give someone joy and it'll change someone's morning. You know, when they hear this, it'll change the course of their morning, and then it sort of keeps me going.
Well, Guy, speaking of music that changes the world, last time you were here, you did a Hits From Your Hood with me for East Vic Park. I'm going to play you a little bit of audio just to remind you. Here we go.
So what's the way to Vic Park?
Oh, I do remember this.
Just start heading south.
Beautiful.
Wow.
And if they choose not to believe us, hear it from John Hughes's mouth.
I'm John Hughes, just over the causeway in Victoria Park.
So, of course, we're super grateful to have someone like you, of the calibre of yourself, on there. But
how did that go? Was it a hit?
Oh,
it was
huge, a massive hit. And a little bit disappointed that I wasn't invited to contribute to the new album, to be honest with you, buddy.
Well, you were. I got in touch with your peeps, and what they quoted was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, Guy, we've told Matt to drop his, you know, his Sting level of background vocal cost.
Oh, mate. See, I think that's how you saw it going. You thought, yeah, we'll be at Burswood Dome next. It'll just be me. And yeah, I think you saw yourself as Freddie Mercury when we were recording that, and you thought, yep, this is my moment. I'm going to be selling out stadiums. And
I lost the feel that it was actually about the music, not about the end result.
You didn't have an anchor.
I didn't have any anchor.
Who's your anchor?
Bloody hell, Guy Sebastian got it.
I did notice, you know, on Twitter, I follow your account on Twitter, and I do see you were very moved by Jacinta Ardern, the New Zealand Prime Minister, with everything that's gone on in Christchurch and everything since. Is that kind of story? I know you were moved, and is that the kind of thing that would inspire you as a songwriter as well? You've written some profound lyrics over the years.
Yeah, well, I wrote a song the day after that, actually, for my two little boys. Actually, I'll get my notes out one second. I'll read you a couple of lyrics from it.
Yeah, cool.
The second verse I love, where it says, where you can love the one you love and go about it openly, where you can chase a dream and no one says it's not reality, where it's commonplace to say that ain't my God, but yours is cool with me, where teachers can just teach instead of training for a tragedy. Yeah, that's all I want, you know, just to give you the world you deserve. Like, it's basically like a prayer just to say, I just want that world for my kids, and I don't want it to keep getting worse. Yeah.
Some great lines, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the window
I've never
into the
read lyrics on a radio interview.
It's like a little scoop right there. Thanks for the window into the Guy Sebastian songwriting school.
Ah, no worries. Well, whether it goes on an album or just stays as a song for my kids, who knows?
Thanks, mate. We look forward to seeing you there telling them what to do in the best possible way on the Voice. We'll see you soon.
Absolutely, can't wait.
Guy Sebastian, 7:25. Don't forget, 7:30 tonight on Channel 9. The Voice is back.
I know we say it a lot, but geez, a charming bloke.
He's a sweetheart, isn't
he? Yeah.
Yeah. Despite the fact he barracks for Adelaide and he's so strong.
Oh, you didn't tell me that.
Yeah,
oh,
sorry, man. Put you off. Yeah. And let's not talk about footy because you're a bomber.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
Let's be honest, there'd be some pretty sore people waking up in Perth today.
Oh, yes. The old HBF run for a reason.
It was a big Sunday. It was a beautiful Perth day. Quite stunning, wasn't it?
Mm. Oh, yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah, Matt and I bumped into each other. I went the wrong way because my cabby dropped me off at the wrong spot, which was bizarre. I ended up at Crown at about 8:40. So I thought, I'm going to walk back the other way.
It was strange seeing this tall person come towards us against the flow of the traffic of people.
Oh, especially after you'd been cursing him for 30 minutes, going, bloody Claire's, he didn't even show up.
Where is he?
Rude.
What's he doing? So I think I ended up doing 12Ks in the end, but it was wonderful. And as I was walking across from Crown, I noticed the runners running around Optus Stadium. And I thought they were taking a shortcut and going across Matagorup Bridge to cheat on their way to Gloucester Park. They weren't. They were going right the way around the river. But it was fascinating to see so many people puffing and panting. There were cheerleaders and everything going on at Optus Stadium. And there was a band playing live music. And then I bump into the friendliest Japanese tourist in the world. And I could tell because he had a Japanese cap on.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah. And he said to me, I have no idea what he said to me, right? But he was looking, he was obviously asking me a question. So then he quickly pulled out his phone and got onto the translation app, which
right.
was pretty cool. And he put in some symbols and the rest of it. And it came up with, he was looking at the crowd as they ran past. And all it came up with was which game. Or what game?
Okay.
So he's trying to work out. Wondering why they're all running.
Why they were running and thinking, was it something to do with the sports stadium right next door?
Okay.
So I, in my worst Japanese, said, it's a fun run with the public, mate. for charity.
Okay.
I have no idea to this moment if this Japanese gentleman has any idea what I said back, but he very kindly bowed a few times and shook his head and said yes, as though he understood.
Okay.
I thought later maybe I should have grabbed his phone and put it into the app and it would have translated for him.
Don't be grabbing anyone's phone.
Probably not. He might have not been happy. But it was really weird to have that translation thing going on. The apps are brilliant, but if there was no phone in his hand, we would have been absolutely screwed.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been lost in translation even when I moved to Canada and the first drink I ordered when I got to their country was a vodka lemon lime and bitters.
Right. Okay.
Right? And my drink came out in the weirdest way I've ever seen. It was on a little tray and it came out with vodka in a shot glass and there was another tall glass standing next to it with ice in it. Uh-huh. It had salt around the top of the rim of the glass and they brought out lemon juice in a sort of small milk jug.
Right.
And I like a whole glass of real lemon juice and this glass with salt on it. And I went, what is this?
It's almost lip, sip, suck kind of
thing.
Sounds
and
like
I said, what is this? I ordered a vodka, lemon, lime and bitters. And she said, oh, we've never even heard of that. We don't know what that is. So we just got you what we thought was close.
Oh, that's cute.
They just made it up.
It wasn't like a French Canadian bar. No,
totally lost in translation. English. They've never heard of vodka, lemon, lime and bitters. And so they just made up something that was bitter tasting.
Okay.
Oh, very good. Captain Paul, you've had a lost in translation moment, haven't you?
I have. Yeah. So mine was when I was learning Japanese. So I had a number of Japanese students when I was an instructor down at the Royal Aero Club.
Yeah.
And one of them just said that I spoke like a girl.
Oh, really?
So if you don't pronounce it properly, you sound like a girl.
Right, yeah.
And so he taught me to go, domo arigato gozaimasu, which is thank you very much. But that's a man saying that, I was actually saying it like a girl in the beginning.
So is it just the tone of your voice or actually the words?
The inflection in some of the words. So you've got to be quite precise, actually. So very easily you can sound like a girl.
So you said it to someone on the Coral Coast. Yeah, but on the Coral Coast you said it to someone because you remembered that from all those years ago.
Yes.
And they look very impressed that you knew some Japanese.
They were totally impressed.
I thought, gee, this chick's looking a bit rough.
She's had a tough life.
Oh, God.
She's a bit lumpy in the wrong areas. But
it is interesting to see things get lost in translation. I think yours is amazing, KC. You
were doing it
in an English-speaking country.
And as you say, with all the apps these days, we're all being a little bit braver, but maybe you've got a great story where it didn't quite work for you. So give us a call. 133353. We've got a great caller of the day prize, a double pass to see Taron Egerton as Elton John in the musical Fantasy Rocket Man in cinemas May 30.
Isn't it funny how music translates? You see concerts in in Moscow, and they've got big rock stars, and they're all singing in English.
Yes, that's right.
So bizarre. Yeah, all around the planet.
Maybe if your Japanese chap was saying the game, he actually wanted to know our tips.
He might have wanted to know what was going on. He wanted to win the car. Yeah.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
Sometimes things get a little lost in translation. Mm-hmm. Like the Japanese gentleman who asked me what the hell was going on basically with the HBF run for a reason yesterday. Mm-hmm. He put it into his translation app and he said the word in English that came up, the words came up, what game? So he's trying to work out what was going on. And I told him in English, so I still don't to this moment know whether he was any wiser after I'd spoken to him.
Hey.
Yeah. He thanked me about 47 times.
We want to know your lost in translation story. Stewie from Byford. G'day, Stewie.
Hey, guys. How are you? Next time you go to the Coral Coast, you need a decent driver, I'll take you.
Beautiful. You're on. That's a deal.
Good on you, mate. When have you been lost in translation?
Okay. It was my first marriage. My first in-laws were Serbo-Croatian.
Yep.
And I thought I'd do the honourable thing and learn the language and ask the father for his daughter's hand in marriage in Serbian and do the right thing and everything. I can't remember the words, but I said it, and next thing you know, the whole family just cracks up laughing.
Right.
So I go, uh-oh. And so I turn around to the girlfriend and I said, what's wrong? She goes, nothing much. I said, what did I just say? She goes, you just asked Dad for my fist in marriage.
For your fist?
Fist.
Yeah.
Fist in marriage.
Rather than hand in marriage.
You said fist instead of hand. Okay, was he a little concerned?
Especially, fist and a few more letters.
Okay.
That's awesome.
That's hilarious.
Thanks, Stewie.
Sir, can I have your daughter's fist in marriage?
Perhaps not.
It's like Mr. Darcy in Love, actually.
Absolutely.
Right.
Let's go to Hocking. Angela, good morning. When were things lost in translation for you?
Good morning. Mine was more of a product lost in translation. I was in a small town called Wildcatcham. It's a country wheat belt town, and I was about 10, and my stepmom's family come from Malaysia, and her niece came over, first time we've met, and she asked to go to the shop and to see where she could buy an esky.
Right.
And so I rode down on my push bike to the local West Farmers Rural Store. I showed her what I thought she meant, which has been an esky, in like an ice box.
Yeah, of course.
And showing her all these different sizes and what she wanted, and she looked at me strange, and then she's there trying to tell me no, and try to get me out of the shop because it was actually a lady sanitary product that she was actually looking for because it's a brand name in Malaysia.
Oh, wow, they look comfortable.
Yes.
Yeah. Love to wear one of those.
Yes. Like a chili bin there.
Barely noticeable.
You can still ride a horse.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool. Great. Thanks, Ange.
That's brilliant.
Harry.
Couldn't have got it more wrong.
Esky.
Glenn's in Coogee. Hey, Glenn, what was your lost in translation moment?
Yeah, look, working as a radiographer in Perth, had a clientele that were quite often Chinese. I thought I'd do the right thing and learn a few Chinese phrases. So day one, I'm going to trot it out, and I went, this elderly gentleman and his daughter walked in. I give it a bit of a knee how and see, and the daughter looked over and said, he deaf.
You went to all that trouble for nothing.
Nothing.
You need the sign in the language.
Oh, good on you for trying,
Glenn. Yeah, you made the effort.
Yeah.
No, Glenn was signing back.
He was, yes, yeah. As long as you didn't give them the location of our airports and ports, that's fine.
Good on you, Glenn. Thanks for your call this morning. Have a great week. Glenn from Coogee joining in the conversation this morning. Lost in translation to that Japanese gentleman by Optus. I really apologise.
Yeah.
The Esky's a beauty, isn't it?
Yeah.
Breakfast with the lot. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
We wake up this morning and we don't have a new Prime Minister. We have the incumbent. Scott Morrison is our Prime Minister.
Yes, maybe Bill saying that to Chloe Shorten as we speak, lean on me.
Quite possibly.
Mm.
He was in shock, wasn't he? Let's be honest, Bill Shorten, as he conceded on Saturday night.
Well, especially because all the polls were saying Labor, everyone's going to go Labor. It looked quite favourable for them. And then even, when the PM, when Scott Morrison was re-elected, he said, this is a miracle. I don't think anyone was expecting it.
Not sure that a man as devoutly Christian as him should be calling it a miracle, but there you go.
Oh, he believes in miracles. This is what the PM had to say.
I have always believed in miracles. I'm standing with the three biggest miracles in my life here tonight.
And tonight we've been delivered another one.
I don't know about that. If you've got another guy who's throwing $50 or $60 million at it and it turned into a Labor, anti-Labor, you know, real hate campaign, that does have an influence as people are going to the polls.
Oh, Clive did not help.
No, just Clive. Calling it a miracle just doesn't fill me with confidence because I'm like, you should have known that your product was the best product when you were going out there. Like, if you're selling, you should be like, it's no surprise to me we got in because we're the best. Yeah, not so, like, oh, I don't know how the hell I got this.
What do we do now?
So much talk about the polls and how people are saying the polls are inaccurate, but it's not until people actually are walking of in there. And so. I know exit polls. We're also reflecting that Labor were going to have a solid win even at that point in time. But even that is a, you know, not necessarily a big sample at every polling station.
And can there be anything more boring than the same pundits that you've been listening to for 7 weeks now punditizing on how it all went wrong
and saying
how
why?
They were the ones that knew that there was something fishy about those polls.
Isn't it funny? Oh, here's Bill Shorten conceding.
I know that you're all hurting, and I am too. While there are still millions of votes to count, it is obvious that Labor will not be able to form the next government.
And you could see he and Chloe were absolutely shattered, almost Hillary Clinton style. I think it hit them like that.
Yeah, you know, the biggest surprise for me is that this is the first time that I thought maybe people were really starting to get interested in politics, that the younger generation seemed to really get their votes in early. There was a lot going on.
Mm.
But there were so many people at the polling booth who were going, so how do I do this again? Where do I put my numbers? And I thought, oh my God, if that's how we're rocking up to the polls, what are we doing?
Yeah, it isn't that hard.
No,
not really.
But I was surprised how many people didn't know what was going on, and that doesn't make me feel very confident in our system.
Yeah, I guess it's, you know, the fact that it is compulsory is supposed to make people a little bit more committed to
it. Yeah, a little bit aware, perhaps. Yeah. I mean, it's not that hard to just tell people, just, you know, pick a party if that's what you want to go with. Yeah. Grab the sheet on the way in and copy it.
Yes.
It's not really that difficult.
Yeah,
but but I understand that.
And do we have some Mark McGowan? Did he have something to say?
What the Premier had to say.
There's lots of lessons. Clearly, Federal Labor had an overly ambitious policy agenda and allowed themselves to be attacked. They put it out there years in advance and it was targeted very successfully by the Liberal Party.
And you can tell, you know, the true believers, the Labor faithful, they're in shock. And you can even hear it in the Premier's voice. He couldn't believe it because they were expecting that Bill Shorten was getting in. And we've spoken to Scott Pape a few times the last few weeks. He was talking as though Shorten was pretty much PM.
And it's great to know that the people of Australia do not like ambition. We don't want you to do anything, right? Just keep it as it is. We're fine.
Better the devil you know. There's a little bit of that going on, but that's what's happened. Yeah, the election is done.
Good.
No more political advertising.
Great.
Until the next
sorry,
one.
Sorry, Clive and your 80 million.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
From the Coral Coast, a magnificent week for the team.
Oh, it was wonderful.
A beautiful week away and then one day apart from one another. And then, hey, get up and do the HBF Run for a Reason, guys.
HBF Run for a Reason. I'm still looking for Kimber's time. How did she go?
Oh, I'm very sorry. Yeah. I was too sick to go.
Lazy.
Oh,
but didn't you get a text saying, well done, Matt? You did very well.
I did. I got a text saying, well done, Matt. Well run,
that?
Matt. Yeah. And I don't know how they got my number and how they've texted me your details.
Well, it must be something to do with your entry. Because I got one that said, congratulations, Steen, you can see how you went in your time. And I'm going, that's a bit weird because I didn't quite make the start line.
No, you didn't.
My cabbie got a bit panicked with so many people running one way on the Graham Farmer Freeway and missed the turnoff into East Perth. And so I ended up at Crown, stranded at Crown. You couldn't get back into the city from there.
No.
At 20 to 9. So I texted our team and I went, can you tell the guys I'm not going to make it? I'll meet you halfway. I'll run back the other way. Or walk back the other way. So I ended up walking back from Crown across where everyone was running at the stadium, at Optus Stadium.
At Optus, yeah.
It was pretty cool. And bumped into a few people who'd just run the race.
Hi, John. You finished your HBF Run for a Reason. How'd you go?
Yeah, really well. An hour 33.
Oh, so 4Ks. That's very slow.
Yeah.
No, that's great, man. How was it this morning? Was it freezing when you started?
Yeah, it's really cold, but once you get going, it warmed up.
And is there a point in the run where you go, this is weird, now I'm feeling hot?
No, not really. Just thirsty.
Yeah, congratulations, mate. Well done.
Thank you, mate.
And the thing was, he was taking selfies with the river behind him, and then with Optus behind him, with him with his medal. People very proud to get hold of their medal after the HBF.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And people train for it too. Yeah. To run like that, it's, you know, proper training. And so it's a personal achievement.
And Kimber, as you know, when you get a text like the one you got, well done, Matt, it makes it all worth it.
Oh, I thought it was awesome. I crawled out of bed at 9:30 in with my, you know, the sick blanket on and thought of you guys. I really did.
Yeah,
and
thanks,
when I got
babe.
That text saying, well done, Matt, I thought, good on him. Yeah. He's really gone out and done his best.
Oh, you know me.
Our producer Neil was DJing yesterday at our activation site, which was incredible. And the look on his face when he saw me going the other way was a bit weird because I was doing the HBF reversal for a reason.
Oh. That's
incredible.
Actually,
well,
we got
we'd all
messages.
Be surprised to see you going the other way, let's be honest.
Funny that, isn't it?
Yeah.
We got a few messages from people too on our Facebook page who were saying your DJ did a great job. So good on you, Padgy.
He was
nice
he was
one, Neil.
Absolutely going off. Here's another person who was running yesterday.
We're with Claire, who's just at the back end of Narragata Bridge here, and we can hear everyone running in as they head into Gloucester Park. How did you go?
Yeah, really good. It was my first time, and right. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Like, the atmosphere was awesome, and you just thrived off the people around you.
So, Claire, what distance did you go this year?
12.
What was your time?
54.
Oh, you're going to be happy with that.
Yeah, I was really happy. I was wanting to aim for 4:30k, so, yeah, obviously got around that, which was
it's
really
a fit
good.
Woman, Perth.
And everyone very happy if they beat their last time. But it was great to see people supporting each other. I saw a blind runner with a support person and people coming up and patting him on the back and saying, keep going, mate. Yeah. You've got 3Ks to go.
Yeah, it cool.
And it was very sweet and beautiful morning.
And what a pity those native birds were ruining your audio
so
there.
So loud, weren't they?
No, they were adding to the atmosphere. They'll all be extinct soon.
Adding to the atmosphere. I didn't take any pot shots. Yeah.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Another win and a convincing win for the Eagles on Friday night in the AFL.
More.
Yeah, they're starting to get it together, aren't they? If Nick Nat comes back, anything could happen this year. Yeah, I saw some of those old traits because Melbourne were pretty good on Friday night.
Yes. Yeah, they were. They were ahead for quite a bit, weren't they?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, they were most of the game. Yeah.
I didn't hear a lot about the game. And we know that Dennis Cometti is a legend and he's just the best commentator going around.
Yes.
Still.
But I heard that everyone was talking about Dennis's commentary. Like there was one particular moment apparently where he was just a classic Dennis.
Out-committed himself.
Yeah.
He pretty much did. And I must admit, I did laugh yesterday because I did hear someone say, and it was Eddie Maguire during a call of another game say, and he set sail for home, which was one of the classic Dennis lines from the 92 grand final.
Right. Oh,
and I went, you can't do it. It's been done before. That's like saying centimetre perfect. It doesn't really work. But as Liam Fly and Ryan flew to new levels, so did our Dennis.
Kennedy, Daddy'll get the distance, goes long, right to the goal square, right. Oh, Ryan! He's taken the mark of the year. Forget about the competition. Liam Ryan has climbed on Max Gorn and taken a miraculous mark. You will see that again and again for the rest of the season. What a leap.
There you go. How was that?
Wow, the passion.
Yeah. Dennis goes off.
And now I have to see it because Max Gorn is a very tall boy,
right? 6'7" or something.
And he's climbed up on his shoulders.
Yeah, no points for Vardy for pushing him on the ground. I don't know what was going on there. A bit of a mind blank, but anyway. Yeah, incredible.
He is a wonderful commentator. And it just, it makes watching the game so much more pleasurable when someone can call with that kind of poetry and colour.
Hey, was that Andrew Embers? Was that Embers in
the
background?
Yeah, it was,
He didn't actually get any words out of him. Yeah, it was very cool.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for Brekkie.
And something very special kicks off on the radio right here tomorrow.
Oh, we're only giving you a little tease for now.
Okay.
But Hugh Jackman is coming to Perth in August. He's got that show, The Man, The Music, The Show, world tour.
Yes. Absolutely. He's got his Perth connection here, being a whopper boy.
Oh, well, we are the Perth connection. We're going to do something a little extra special.
Yes. Say you'd like to win tickets to see that show, but in your own private suite. Let's just say something like that.
Yep.
And if all you would need to do is prove to us that you know a little bit about Hugh Jackman.
Okay. Ah. I know a bit.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Last time I saw Hugh Jackman live do The Boy from Oz, right? And that was at the Burswood Dome from memory. So it was end of 2006.
Yep.
And he at one stage had a costume change on stage with dancers in front of him and came back out with a West Coast Eagles jumper on. It was early days of Wolverine, but he was still pretty muscly, right? He came out and the Eagles had just won the flag. I wonder if he will do that again. All these years later, after an Eagles flag.
Did he take the roof off the place? Is that why the dome shut down?
I think so. He was flexing his Wolverine muscles. And that was after he made the very first Wolverine appearance all those years ago.
Well, if you think you know a thing or two about Hugh, listen tomorrow morning for your chance to win.
Beautiful.
Yeah, Hugh Jackman, The Man, The Music and The Show. The final Perth performance is now on Saturday, August 24th. So tickets are on sale at Ticketek.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.